In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I don't forget the 2nd of February because it's my younger sister's birthday today. And many folks will know here that she was near death a year ago. And through our prayers and the wonders of modern medicine, she got out of ITU. She was there for months. She's back home. We will go and see her on Thursday, take her out for lunch, and be restored to good health. 2nd of February is marked in my mind. Question for you today. Many questions. Who are the people in your life that have believed in you? That saw something of value, that encouraged you, blessed you, nurtured it. Many other people might have just passed you by, but there might be somebody, maybe a number of people, who saw gifts in you that other people didn't see, and they nurtured it and blessed it and encouraged it. Often these people are teachers, people that have been with us at school, or a family friend. Thank God for those people who give us life and light and encourage us to breathe. So many people detract and take away from us. Thank God that people that have given us life and they've given you life, who gave Aisha life. I was 8 years of age and I couldn't read. In a little school in Wales, I used to be really good at painting and drawing, and that's all I did at school. Just painted and drew and then played. Drank my milk from the bottle and went home. Remember those days? I got to a new school, and on the first day of my term in this new school, new village, the teacher asked me to read. When they came to read, I was at the back of the class. I opened the book and I couldn't read a word of it. I burst into tears. I was 8 going on 9. Wonderfully, that teacher that evening after school said, "Stay behind." And she stayed with me day after day throughout the term time, encouraging me to learn to read. Within one term, I was virtually off scheme. You know about scheme? Different coloured books, graduating in different difficulties, and finally I was off scheme. I thank God for that teacher. Years later, when I got my degree, I went to see her. I was retired now. Sorry, she was retired now. She came to the door. She had no idea who I was, and I remember because she had a cigarette in her mouth. "Hello." I said, "Mrs. Jones, what else?" "Thank you for teaching me to read." She burst into tears. I showed her my degree certificate. Thank God for people that gave us life. Thank God for people who saw in us maybe what other people didn't see. A wonderful thing about this story, here is an amazingly huge temple, vast, full of people. They bring Jesus to be blessed. Thousands of people are there. Thousands come in. It's a multitude. But somehow this couple, this elderly couple, suddenly see this particular child and they see there's something different about him. The mother and the father. There's something going on here. And we get these wonderful words pronounced by Simeon, what's called the Nunc Dimittis, Nunc dimittis, now let your servant depart, now dismiss. Wonderful prayer that's been prayed throughout the whole of Christian history, particularly at the end of the day, at evensong, at vespers, at compline. Now let our servant dismiss and go in peace. We've seen your salvation. And Anna, they see something that other people don't see. Thank God for people who've done that for us. Thank God for this wonderful story, because what Anna and Simeon see is salvation. They see salvation. Oh, that we were the sort of people in the complex world that we live in now, where there are so many competing voices and our world is so fractured and disjointed and anxious and busy and dark. And there's so many things out there which are affecting our young kids that we've let a genie out of a bottle and we don't know what to do with it sometimes. Oh, that we could see salvation. Like Simeon and Anna. Listen, pray for our country. Pray for our church. Pray for the Church of England. That once again we will be able to see salvation. Pray for you today, wherever you are in your story. I don't know where you are. You might come here distracted, busy. You'd rather not be here today, maybe not. Maybe you come here week by week and you never listen to what the vicar says. You switch off as soon as I get up. I pray that you will see salvation. Because the world will, just on a journey, will go downwards if somebody somewhere in some place doesn't say there is salvation. We see Simeon and Anna see salvation. Thank God for people. This is a story of beginnings and endings, because the wonderful thing is here, Luke brings the baby and the elderly together, beginnings and endings, and says they're important. They're vital. And the greatest and best and the strongest cultures in history of those who have valued children and the little, and particularly the unborn, and those who are elderly who can't offer much anymore, and often society will lock them away and dismiss them because they've become like children. We push them away and we do all sorts of things to them and they lose their humanity. But the best societies of all, says Luke, is those that value the young and value the elderly and give them purpose and status. That's what he does. Because brothers and sisters today, you are important not because of what you contribute or your gifts or your talents or your money or whatever you possess, of your status. You're not important ultimately because of that. You're important because you are born. That's why you're important. That's what gives you status. So on birthdays, we celebrate your importance, not because of what you contribute, but simply because you were born. You were a gift to us. And Luke does that. Do you know why it was that Simeon and Anna were able to see salvation, whereas nobody else saw it? Because they'd sought a life, here's a word for you, they sought a life of contemplation. Don't be scared of that word. They were contemplatives. What do you mean, Vicar? The word contemplation means con-temple, con-temple, in the temple, con-temple, in the temple. They were people who'd spent their life in the temple, contemplating, con-temple, in the temple.
Got it.
And that's why they were able to see salvation. Because they were alive to the voice of God, the workings of the Spirit. They could see things that other people couldn't see. Their heart and their mind was switched to another world that was purposeful and meaningful. They were contemplatives, alive to God. And the reason we don't see salvation in our family and amongst our friends, in our children, is because we've shut our world down. Our aerial has been detracted. Our satellite dish, if you like, faces in the wrong direction. We no longer contemplative to the works and the words of God, which Simeon and Anna were. They were alive to it. We need people who are willing to stop and wait and stay and sit and listen and be alive to the voice of God, contemplatives in the temple like Simeon and Anna, and then we will see salvation. He says he saw salvation. By the way, isn't it good that we have people who finish well? I can go in peace now. I've seen salvation. I can depart in peace. Simeon finished well. Isn't it good that Anna could finish well? She'd seen the true story. Salvation was coming. She'd seen it. She'd been alive to it. She could finish well. I pray, brothers and sisters, that you will finish well. So many people don't. As they move towards the end of their life, they become more miserable and more difficult to deal with. They give us less life. And they are on a different journey from the rest, and that is scary. I pray that you will finish well. I want to finish today. If you've got this little note, you should have it. Contemplation, or sitting with God, to enable you to finish well. I'm going to read it. It's got bold print. Please read it. Sometimes people don't pray because they feel they're not worthy of it. They think it's not for them. Mention the word contemplation and they'll run a mile. They think it's for monks and people who have all sorts of qualifications. But prayer and contemplation is just no more than simply sitting with God. Can you sit with God in your distraction? Can you sit with God? Can you just stop and sit with God? The world we live in can be very distracting. Everything gets broken, torn apart, even the church. Important concepts are shredded into little bits and pieces. Prayer, and particularly contemplation, allows us to enter into the heart of God, knowing that this world beats as one and there's harmony out there in God. You are more than broken bits and pieces and individual parts. To be at peace, you have to see the whole, get the picture of the whole, get the sense of the whole. It is prayer and contemplation that helps you achieve this. Sitting with God, we will find that when we begin to pray intentionally, daily, morning by morning, we go into the day with a greater sense of purpose. We're not just fiddling with little bits and pieces and trying to fit them together chaotically. And then turn over, written by a wonderful guy called John Mark Comeau. For years, when I read about monks and nuns who gave up a normal life to do little else besides pray, I think they were crazy. What if we're the ones who are just a little unhinged? We would rather binge on Netflix or go shopping or play fancy football than consume love, loving. That's God. Who would rather give the vast majority of our time to slaving away for some job that will chew us up and spit us out the moment we're no longer useful to the bottom line? Who would choose to spend hours every day on our phones and claim we don't have time for God? What if we're the ones who lost touch? We've lost touch with reality, really. We've lost touch with reality. And we're just wasting our lives on trivial things. Nunc Dimittis, Candlemas. Can we see salvation? Can we become contemplatives? Can we finish well? Can we be one of those people that sees in other people the other things that others just don't see and bring life to them? That's what this is all about. So together we say Amen.